Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and a lot about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out, America. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. On the line, we have Christy. She's calling in from Stevenson, Virginia. Christy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am fantastic. How can I help you today?
So we are familiar with the debt snowball and all of that, and we're currently working on baby step number two. And we currently give a good bit to our church, part of that being that our church is going through a big expansion, and they've asked all the members to commit to, giving a certain amount of donations over the next few years. And we've increased our giving to include that. And I'm just wondering how we factor in giving into other organizations. I feel as though it's a must, but I want to make sure and kind of get, I guess, confirmation that I'm on the right train of thought with that.
Yeah. How much debt do you have?
$18,000. And that's just the vehicle. And the rest is just our mortgage.
Okay. And do you have any savings?
Yes. We have about $6,000, part of that being our $1,000 emergency fund. Yeah, and the rest of that just being college savings and such that we had in place already for our children. So
let me ask the question real fast. Do you want to pay off your debt as soon as possible?
Absolutely.
All right. Then tithe and continue to tithe and always do it first. So your gut is correct. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give with what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I feel like, and I know this without a shadow of a doubt, I've been in this scenario, that if you tithe and keep Him first, you will pay off your debt faster. And you might be thinking, what in the world? That makes absolutely no human sense. And you're right. It doesn't. Because here's why. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You're not alone, Christy. You are not alone. Finite minds trying to figure out an infinite God. It's just funny. I think sometimes God's chuckling quite a bit as we're trying to figure Him out. So, yes.
I feel in my heart, you need to keep doing this because that's what we're commanded to do. But then the logic comes in and says, well, if you stop giving so much, you can pay off your debt quicker and then you can give more later. But I know it's not logic, really.
And here's the deal. Our logic is kind of restricted by the regulations of mathematics, but God's isn't.
Yeah.
And God works on multiplication and exponential growth, and our faith is just another dimension. And I'll take God's math over my math all day long. So,
okay, good.
I'll just stick to it. And if there's a way to pay off your debt faster, try to find other ways. But I would not cut there, that's for sure.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Christy.
Bye.
So Delphina emails in and she says, I enjoy listening to the radio program almost daily on Faith Talk 1360 in Phoenix, Arizona. On today's program, you mentioned a budget app that could be assessed on the stewardship website. I could not find the app. What is the name of the app again? I appreciate your help and your time. Lord bless you. The name of the app is everydollar.com. Again, it's everydollar.com. I've actually got mine out on my phone right now. I'm looking on an iPhone, not an Android. Sorry, all you Android lovers. But I am on the EveryDollar app on my phone, and I'm going through these transactions. I've got a few backed up here. It's connected right to my bank, and I got Little Caesars here for $10.93. That's right. We cook really, really well around our house. And I've got my life insurance, my term life insurance here. That came out this month. Ouch. And then I've got, how do you pronounce this? Taquero Jalisco. That was a... My Bobram producer has some Spanish background, and he totally just corrected me in my ear. He says, Taquero Jalisco. That was better. But anyway, some great, great Mexican food last weekend. Heritage Cleaners, Dropbox. So all these things, I just, boom, click and drag right into the category, and boom, my budgeting, taking care of those expenses and keeping track of them is just in a drag of a finger. So pretty cool. Again, that's everydollar.com, and thank you so much, Delphina, for your email. Our next caller is Jamal, calling in from Akron, Ohio. Jamal, how are you?
Hi, I'm well.
What can we do to help you?
My wife and I, we find ourselves in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
We started the Total Money Makeover on a challenge, really, from Dave back in 2006. And we started everything really at that point, and we worked it until last year, and we actually finished the debt snowball. And so we have nothing left but the house, but we find ourselves in a financial plateau. And what I mean is that we just can't seem to bust through to the next layer or to the next step. The 3 to 6 months, mainly 6 months, because my wife, she does not work outside the home. She actually has been homeschooling our two boys for the past 8 years, and it's been a nice ride. But where I am right now, I'm having trouble just dealing with, spiritually and mentally, with not being able to move past where we are. Sure, we have no consumer debt, but that 6 months of living expenses is just really elusive at this point, and it's a bit discouraging. I just don't know what to do. I don't know if you really can help.
So how long have you been debt-free?
Only for a year. So it was April of 2014 that we paid off our last consumer debt item.
We've got 7 steps in the baby step process. Those of you who are listening, we're talking about the baby steps that are tied to Financial Peace University. There's 7 baby steps, and you are going to be a working adult for roughly 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there could be an expectation problem, And then a lot of times we have problems in life. This is where we get discouraged, is when circumstances or results don't match our expectations.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the fault of the results. Sometimes it's the fault of our expectations. And I would just say, if you're going through 7 steps in 40 years, or even 7 steps in 30 years, let's say that you wanted to be in baby step 7 for your remaining 10 years of your working life, then what would make us think that we can get from baby step 2 all the way through baby step 3 in 1 year? And so I want to just allow you to kind of relax a little bit, and I'm gonna give you some more than that, but I want to at least ease your expectations that, you know, remember baby step 1 was just saving $1,000. So you had kind of an easy baby step, and some of the steps are bigger. Now, saving 3 to 6 months is a big deal. That's not something that you just do in a year. It's not even really. Some people can, but here's how they do it. They take extra jobs. Either both spouses just decide to take a hit and sacrifice something and work outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
Some cut all their expenses down to pretty much nothing. That means like no restaurants. That means possibly even maybe switching an industry. Maybe there's a cap on your income. There's a lot of different things that can happen. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Let's go all the way back to the beginning. What does your budget process look like? For this month, what did your budget process look like?
Well, maybe we've gotten pretty relaxed over 8 to 9 years. but we're really efficient with it.
Yeah, we're.
Well, the thing is that, right, my wife will sit down and do the written portion of the budget, which I pretty much wholeheartedly agree to. I trust her with all of that. And I basically take care of the online bill pay, dealing with anything like the mortgage to car insurance to the utilities and things like that. She will allocate the monies into the envelope system.
Yeah.
But when we first started, we sat down religiously and we looked over it. We looked at how much money we had coming in and looked at where it needed to go. And so we were a lot more diligent then.
Jamal, let me put the pause button for just a minute, okay?
Okay.
Let me just recap what you just said. Before, you were diligent and you saw results. Now you're relaxed and you don't see results. Ding, 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 ding. There's number one. Make sure that you are you are really diving into the budget process. And one little thing to help you too, it's a two-person project. You both need to be part of the project. So if you don't like the budgeting process, make it enjoyable. Do it over a really nice dinner, or do it over by the fireplace or by the pool, or do it somehow where it's enjoyable. Okay, so that's number one. So what you're going to do, if I asked you right now, I'll just go ahead and ask you.
Okay.
Would you like a raise at work?
I'd like one, yes.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to give you a raise today.
Oh.
I'm going to give you a raise by asking you to get on a budget. When you get on a budget, you're going to get a raise, because you're going to be, oh, that's where that money's going. It is. You have little holes in your pocket. Kind of visualize that. And the money is falling out holes in your pocket, and you don't even realize it. So that's what I would say. Now, if your income is lower than maybe the average there in Akron, then you need to think about getting your money, your income up. But I don't. That's probably not the issue. The issue is that you're not on a budget. That'd be number one. Number two, I would say real fast, is make sure you check out who you're hanging out with. I don't know who you're hanging out with, and you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell just a few folks that are listening on the air. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good behavior. Now, I don't think you're hanging out with bad people,
right,
but take this into consideration. Tom Stanley wrote an amazing book called The Millionaire Next Door, and he wrote The Millionaire Mind. Great author. He says this, over your lifetime, you will earn within 10% of the 10 people you hang out with the most.
Wow.
Think about that. Who are you hanging out with? Do they have limited thinking, or are they stretching you to the next level? And I would think through maybe some more revenue streams that maybe she can do at home, or maybe you can do on the side. Maybe she can do it from a computer, or maybe she can do it on the phone. But I would think through that. Okay, so those are two big nuggets. Budget, who you hanging out with, and are you thinking too small? Get that income up, and you can kind of go from there. Got an email here from Kendra. She says, AKA helpless in Missouri. I've been trying to get my husband interested in cleaning up our debt for the last 6 years. My husband is wonderful, but he is very stubborn. How do I make him think clearing up our debt is his idea? He believes that debt is normal and we will never get out. Well, Kendra, a lot of times we don't realize what the alternative is. We don't know what else we can do with that. We haven't thought bigger. And so I think you got to get him around some bigger thinking, giving him a picture of what the future could look like. So when the timing is right, timing is everything for these kind of conversations. You got to say, okay, so as of right now, our net worth is negative 14,000. We're 35 years old. What does retirement look like? Start asking the question, okay, if we were to retire tomorrow, how would we live? And so you've got to create that urgency in him to see the future, because right now he's living in the here and now, which is not abnormal, by the way. America is living in the here and now. It's the just do it. When, if it feels good, just do it. Hand to mouth, you know, whatever's convenient, let's go for it. And you've got to, you know, point him towards scripture that talks about how Jesus sees debt. And then you've also got to give him a vision for his future. Finding an investing advisor with the heart of a teacher should not be difficult. That's why Dave Ramsey started his Endorse Local Provider program. He's been connecting listeners to these trustworthy investing professionals for 15 years. I found my investing advisor through the ELP program and am proud to offer our listeners access to these outstanding pros. If you need someone you can count on to help with your investing needs, check out our ELPs at stewardship.com. Let us connect you with a professional that you can trust. That's stewardship.com and click ELP.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Joy, thank you so much for joining Chris Brown's True Stewardship. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I see here that you're calling in from Florida. Where out in Florida?
Tampa, Florida.
Okay, very cool. I went to college at Clearwater.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, Clearwater Christian College. So I really, really enjoyed my time there.
Actually, right down the road.
Yeah. How can I help you today?
Well, my mom recently passed away, and her life insurance is through, I don't know if I can say, an insurance company, State Farm. And they gave me three options of receiving the life insurance. And it would be a benefit management account where I could write checks from it as I needed. Mm-hmm. They offered me to put it in an annuity, and then they offered a lump sum, and I just wasn't sure what would be the best option.
Yeah, well, Joy, first of all, sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
It seems to me that you are just handling it very well. So
I'm trying. Gotta get through it.
Yeah. Quick answer for you. I would take the lump sum. It's not taxable for income tax purposes.
Okay.
It is for estate tax purposes, but you're not dealing with something over $5.5 million, are you?
No, not.
Okay. So it's not taxable, so don't worry about it. I would want to have it in my hands so I can control it as soon as possible, and I'd want to put that money to use and make it make money as fast as possible. I would encourage you, though, to have a plan. You know, what's the dollar amount?
It's going to be a little over 60.
Okay. Yeah, I would have a plan for what you're going to do with it. I mean, you want to make sure that, you know, Zig Ziglar says, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you have a budget. You know, our friend John Maxwell says that a budget is telling your money where it should go instead of wondering where it went.
Right.
And so you want to make sure that you've got a budget and you got a plan for this additional money. You're going to have your budget for your household, but then have a budget for this money as well. And of course, you know, in Financial Peace University, which is an incredible resource, we talk about making sure you pay off your debt first in a debt snowball, smallest to biggest. And then you have some 3 to 6 months in savings as a kind of an insurance. It's like your emergency fund. And then you're going to start talking about retirement. So wherever you're at in that journey. But again, it goes all the way back to, I would tithe off the money and then I'd have a budget. Okay, Luke 14:28 says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? And that's so many times we live our lives that way, where we don't have a plan for our money. And so I would challenge you to do that. Are you familiar with Financial Peace University, Joy?
Yes. We're doing the at-home military edition.
Okay, very good. And yeah. Have you ever read The Total Money Makeover?
Not yet. We haven't read it yet.
All right. Well, you're about to, because I'm going to mail it to you free of charge.
Oh, I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
so we're going to send that to you, and just for a small, you know, token of we know that you'd had a tough loss, and we just want to minister to you that way. So,
I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah. So when you hang up, Amanda, our call screener, is going to get your address, and we're going to send that to you there in Tampa. And remember, just tithe off of it, and get on a budget, and kind of go from there. Okay?
Okay. That's really helpful. Tithe, budget, and make a plan. Got it.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Joy.
All right. Thanks.
And as always, a reminder that you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. I got an email here from Denise. She emails from San Diego, California, and she just asks, I have $4,000 in credit card debt. Should she close it and pay it off and continue to make payments? That's her question. And my question is, why are you contemplating this? What's the concern? Oh, why would you not want to pay it off? Why would you not want to make the payments? What is the win by keeping it open? What's the win by continuing to make small payments? I don't get it. Now I probably know the answer, Denise. It's because you're concerned about this thing they call the FICO score. FICO score. The FICO score. The thing that so many of us worship, that's got us enslaved. We've got to live to this FICO score, this credit score. And your quick answer is close the thing down, pay it off, and don't use debt anymore. Your credit scores are 100% based on how well you borrow money and how you pay it back on time, not how smart you are with money. I had an 800 credit score when I had a negative $1 million net worth. Let me repeat that. I had an 800 credit score when I had a negative $1 million net worth. Now, I probably don't even have a credit score, but you know what I have? I have money. So pay the thing off, close them down, don't use them anymore, and don't worry about the FICO score. You're going to be just fine because you're going to have money. Thank you so much, Denise. Now we have David calling in from Cleveland, Tennessee. David, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. How can I help you today?
I just got a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually worked for the Church of God for about 8.5 years. Recently, they they bought out another company and gave us the option of moving there or not having a job. We moved there, lost most of our benefits, and I had a 403B minister's retirement plan that they were matching 2.5%. I have about $20,000 in that plan. They stopped matching, so I stopped giving. And I was just wanting to know what would be the best option for that. Should I roll it over into an IRA? Should I leave it where it sits?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself if it's performing well. If it's performing well, leave it alone. If you did that with the Church of God, it might have some restrictions as being a man of the cloth or being clergy. Make sure there's no restrictions where it's not some kind of ministerial. With the 403B, there's some restrictions there because if you convert it over to a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, there could be fees on that rollover. So be careful. I would roll it over for simplicity wherever you're going to do next with your investments, but only if there's no fees. I love simplicity, but not at any expense. I wouldn't pay for it at all. So all it is you just managing one more thing in your life. Just put it, they're a long-term deal. So put it away in a file, make sure it's properly labeled. And I would just forget about it for a while and look back at it maybe in 5 years.
Okay.
And I just would just leave it alone. Otherwise, it's going to drive you nuts. You're managing a bunch of different pieces of paper. And it's a long-term deal anyway. Yeah, it's not something.
I started my baby steps. That's the whole reason, you know, that I'm looking into it. Up to this point, I've lived a life of denial, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care about credit, didn't care about anything really. And now I'm trying to fix everything. So starting my baby steps, trying to get my wife on board, and just trying to make my money count.
Yeah.
As most as I can, you know.
Well, that's awesome, David. And really, the stopping the retirement and the contributions, you should do that anyway. So whether that happened with your work or not, when you've got debt, shouldn't be doing retirement. So just even if it's matching,
yeah.
You got to kind of like put it on pause for a while, pay off the debt, and then come back to it. But anytime you're going to get matching in the future, jump all over that if you're out of debt and you've got an emergency fund.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool. Folks, we're not just talking about money here. I wanted to make sure I make that clear to you and clear to our listeners that this is deeper than just rolling something over or retirement. This is being a shrewd manager for God. I think it's good for all of us. I'm going to give us all homework. Those of you that are listening, I don't know if you're driving, you can't really write something down right now, but remember this. Luke chapter 16. There's a passage in there about the shrewd manager. I think it'd be very good for all of us to read that. That's what we're talking about here, is being shrewd and being wise. And that's what David's calling in about. So kudos to you for looking into this. And I pray that you get out of debt as soon as possible. Be intense about it. Get mad at it and kick it in the teeth. All right?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. Folks, that is what this show's about. Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is not about Roth IRAs versus traditional IRAs. This is not about just certain vehicles for student loans. This is deeper than that. This is managing what we've been entrusted with for God's glory and doing it His way. That's what this is about. This is living life intentionally. This is living life on purpose. Chris Brown's True Stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. That's what this show's about. It's not just a financial show. This is a life show. This is about living life intentionally for our Creator. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service, but in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or a rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings, His way, and for His glory. God bless you.